Well, praise God. We're going to go back into the areas of wisdom. I've been teaching on this subject. You know, I would have thought a long time ago I'd have been out of the first chapter of this Proverbs. But God won't let me alone with this. He talks to me about things and dealing with them. And there's so much that he's speaking to me about that really on the areas of wisdom because of where we're at today. We're at where we are in America today because of the lack of wisdom. That's where we're at. And as the church is filled with lack of wisdom, the church has moved off into a lot of social things, a lot of political things and that stuff, and have moved away from the Word of God, the authority of the Word, the importance. God's really been dealing with me. The authority of the Word is supposed to be first in the church. The authority of the Word, not the authority of what somebody else said or did. It's the authority of the Word. And if coming back to, if I look back in when I came into the kingdom, that was everything they talked about. It was the authority of the Word. It was the Word of God. And that was everything. And that's all they did was push the authority of the Word. As you stand on the Word, you stand on the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And we need to come back to that place where we're not getting into all these other things. Finding our place in the Word of God and making our stand that place of faith. Without faith, you can't please God. You can't please Him. So I don't care how, you know, as a people today, it doesn't matter how right I am in my political stance or how right I am in my, you know, whether, you know, constitutional stance. It doesn't matter. All of that can change. Hasn't it been changing? I mean, look how people have been changing. There are people today standing for stuff that I can go back 20 years ago, they would never have ever said or ever thought about doing what they do. But see, loads of people, and even Christians, and I'm going to say mostly Christian. One of the biggest groups I've seen has made the most change is the Christians. The Christians have become more like the world than the world has become anything. Christians changing. Changing what they believe, picking up what the world says and how the world thinks about things and stuff, measuring things against that. That the world's not our measuring stick. And we need to understand this. We're in a time and a great dilemma that you and I have because most things are pulling us and are trying to pull us away from the Word of God. Most things are trying to pull us away. Today, the average Christian in the United States has a religion that God does not recognize. It's not based or founded in His Word. It's upon man's thinking and man's belief. It isn't because somebody, well, you know, they said, you know, I've heard people all the time. I remember when I worked at Reese's. This goes back to 1980. So this is a few years ago. Back in 1980, I'll never come to the kingdom. And, you know, these Christians would talk about, say, so-and-so is a Christian. I'd say, why they're a Christian? Well, they believe in Jesus. I said, well, the Bible says the devil believes too. I said, I don't see anything in their life that has to do with Christian. But see, I could see back then, you'd already, this thing is working in there. People are working away from God, moving away, basing on, some guy said he's this or he said he's that. It doesn't matter. I want to see what a person does. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. He didn't say by what they say you'll know them. I don't care what you say you are. I'm going to look at you and see what you do. You know, that's where to find out where the truth's at, isn't it? That's where the truth is found. It's found in what you do, not what you run around saying. If you're saying and doing are the same, you got a lot of power. But they got to be the same. If you have saying and no doing, you ain't got nothing. There's no power. James said, it's dead. I wonder if he was right. I just sort of think he was. He said, it's dead. But if you're saying, and this is the power that we have as Christians, to have our saying and our doing together, there's nothing more powerful. Nothing more powerful. If my saying is in line with God's Word and my doing is in line with God's Word, I'm walking with God. You know, a lot of people say they want to walk with God. There's only one way to walk with God, and that is to saying His Word and doing His Word. That's walking with God. Anything else ain't walking with God. I don't care how many visions, dreams, or whatever you saw, or whatever happened to you, and 12 angels showed up and waved their wings at you or did something. It don't matter. That don't mean you're going anywhere. There's people who are lost who saw angels. And people say, well, they must have been devils. Not necessarily. God has appeared. Jesus has appeared to people and that stuff that were unsaved and things already. But you know what? You get saved by believing what the Bible says and saying what the Bible says and acting on it. You don't get saved by seeing it. You don't get saved just by saying it and then acting like it ain't true. And so we need to walk in line with these things. The wisdom, and this is one of the things that I want to look at, because we're going back over in the areas, again, into the Proverbs, the first chapter. We're talking about wisdom. Is to looking around you today, is you need to understand why things are like they are. And if we're going to, we want to bring change, but we're trying to bring change in our nation right now, generally, naturally, natural perspective. We look at people that are doing crazy stuff and things, and we're, well, what's wrong with them? The same thing that was wrong with you before you got saved. That's what it is. And now you're saved, and if you don't understand what's wrong from them, then you lost something along the way of your Christianity that you can't see why other people are messed up. Because you've lost your way in the Word. Many Christians have lost their way. If you're walking close in the Word and following the Word, you'll know why things go and why things happen and why they do. The Bible tells us. The Bible is so clear on the subject of why things take place. What happens? You know, there is so much. I mean, we have all those prophets that were in the Old Testament of all the things prophesied and said, if you don't follow God and don't do this, this is what happens to you. My words are so much of that in the book. And you know what? The church walks just as dumb as a stick. It's like none of that stuff's ever been said. It tells us, you know, following God. And we need to understand about wisdom. Wisdom comes from one place and one place alone. It's God. That's it. Wisdom doesn't come from man. We found out in the beginning it doesn't come from nature. You don't find wisdom in nature. Now, the wise one created it, and we can see his wisdom in it, in doing it. But looking at nature, you don't come up with being wise. You know, if you think about it, anybody who studied nature would become a Christian. Well, we know this, that the majority of people that study nature end up being atheists. They believe this stuff happened. You know, you were a slime ball somewhere and sort of crawled out on a beach someplace and decided you wanted legs and they showed up, you know, just because you needed them. You needed them. That's the dumbest thing you ever heard. What happened? The ocean got so full, the fish came out of there. I'm going to move to a new neighborhood. So he said, but I'm going to need legs and this gill thing don't work. So I'm going to decide I'm going to do this. And he didn't build any kind of suit to wear or anything. Us, we're so stupid as humans, we have to build suits to go out into space. But they didn't have to. Those animals were so smart. You believe human beings teach that stuff. Human beings. But they do. Why? No wisdom. But yet they're held with high esteem. Those kinds of people fill our government. Yeah, they fill our government. These are the wisdom. We're dealing the areas of wisdom. And in Proverbs, the first chapter, I said we're going to go to that. It says, first verse, it says that Proverbs, these are Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding. We started off there, and the Lord just had me over that discipline area dealing with that thing in wisdom. And we talked about that there word instruction there really deals with is the word discipline. In other words, there's a discipline of life. There's discipline, and really doing with it, it's a discipline of study and learning. That's what it is. Understand, there is no such thing. People do not have common sense. It's what's studied and learned. This is why when you sit down, you need to understand this. We expect people out here to know things, about doing right and living right. How are they going to know it? They never went to church. Most Christians never go to church or ever take their kids to church. And then tell them, then people are going to, well, they really love their kids. They hate their children. They hate God. They don't believe in Him enough to take their kids to church. Why? There's a wisdom that must be passed on. And that wisdom, we need to know, it's not being passed on. So we have all these people that say they're Christians. The majority of people who claim to be Christians don't go to church. They don't sit under any teaching. They don't sit under any of that stuff. They don't do anything. They just do their own thing. And their limit. The Bible says, you know, God says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. They say, oh, we can do. We don't have to worry about it. We can. Heck with God. I know more than He does. You know. He'll just jump to my bidding whenever I want it. He'll just do, you know, And we have this kind of God today. But we understand there's not a wisdom out here. The average person has the wisdom of the ways that they were taught. That's their wisdom. So we can say this day, even from the church world standpoint, the average Christian who even goes to church, from the way that they're taught mostly socially and stuff and things like that. That's their wisdom. That's the way they're taught. Nobody is born with an inherent smart and knows about God. That never happened. That never takes place. It never happens to anybody. We're taught and trained in that area. You know, I was taught and raised in a way of thinking from the way my parents were. I don't know why I got the point. Well, it's some of the things that happened. I rejected it because I could see that it wasn't true in what they were saying. I could see what they said they believed. They really didn't live like that was true. What they would say about God, they didn't even really buy it because they could see it wasn't working. But they were afraid to say anything about it because you're in a group of people and boy, they'll put you out of the church if you don't. Nobody questioned. They were in a group and you were never allowed to question anything. You weren't allowed to question. And so everybody stays dumb. You know, really, they rise to a certain place, a level, and you can't go beyond that. So I was trained and taught certain things were certain ways. Well, you know, when I turned around and I got born again, I didn't have to just deal with learning the Word of God. I had to deal with unlearning things. This is one of the problems with the average Christian. The average person that gets saved will never really develop to a fullness because they will never unlearn. They love to keep the things that they were taught. People love their traditions and their stuff. They love it. And they want to keep it. I won't want to have this change because if I change this, then I might lose these people. May not want to be around me anymore. This people love to be liked. They love to be loved more than they love God. Let's get serious. It's people like more what they can touch, feel, smell, and taste more than walking in faith in what they can't see, touch, taste. The average person will usually always lean toward the touch, the taste, the smell. They're going to lean that way. And for myself, you know, I had to learn. That became to learn to do that, to learn how to get over here, to get myself to believing that unseen realm is more real to me than what I see with my eyes. That's a work. You're going to have to throw a lot of things out to come to that. Because a lot of saying, especially the cliche Christianity that is used so much, and especially we spirit-filled people, we got, man, cliches up the wazoo. Man, you name it, we got cliches. And most of them don't amount to a hill of beans, but we love to say them because we think that everybody thinks we're spiritual when we say them. So here we go. But we have these things and we have a language that really don't say a whole lot. People don't even know what the word means. You walk up to a person and you say the average spirit-filled person, asking what redemption really means. And they really don't. They'll say, well, you know, redemption means, well, you're paid for, you know, we're paid for. They have this. They don't even really know what God's redemption is about. You know, most Christian, the average spirit-filled Christian, thinks the average that they're saved because their sins are forgiven. You're not saved. If only you had got your sins forgiven, you're going to hell. Because you got to get born again to go to heaven. You can't go to heaven, sins forgiven. If you go to heaven, you can go to heaven with sins forgiven, then every Jew would have went to heaven. There wouldn't have been a lost one of them. They had that under the law. But most Christianity, most spirit-filled people, they'll always bring that up right away. They never throw that out. Wrong teaching. They love it. My sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Great. Great. Well, when are you going to start living? You will never live like your sins are forgiven till you get born again. You'll keep living like hell. That's why there's so many hell. They went, Jesus, forgive me my sins, so I'm a Christian. And well, if Jesus, at the cross, did Jesus forgive everybody's sin? Did he do it? Then the people that are preaching today are right then. Everybody goes to heaven. Because everybody's sins are forgiven, aren't they? Aren't they? Are they? Or did Jesus, is he holding out? Maybe the Bible wasn't true about that. Where is it? Well, then if I'm going to heaven because my sins are forgiven, then therefore everybody will be in heaven. has to be, if that's the basis of it. It's not the basis of it. But what I'm trying to bring across to you, see, we have beliefs and we don't listen. They keep us in a shallow area of wisdom and understanding about God. And so people in the world are living under this thing. I heard Christians saying this even, I mean, all the time I hear Christians say this. Well, they just need their sins forgiven. And I think, you know, you need a new brain is what you need. And if we can get rid of you, we might be able to reach them. They need to know about forgiveness of sin, but they need to know about a new birth. They need to know they need changed. That's why we have so many people sitting in the church world have never experienced the change. They have mouthed things, and people said they were saved and that kind of stuff, but they never got born again. Lives have never been changed. Lives have never been changed. Jesus Christ said this to Kenneth Hagin. Now, this goes back years ago. This is back in the 80s. Jesus Christ said this to Kenneth Hagin. He said, the church has many conversions but few births. Now, I want you to think about that. That was during time of revival. Jesus said there wasn't many births going on. And we talk about all these people coming into the kingdom. Loads of them never came into the kingdom. They just accepted a way of life. But they never got born again. The Bible calls this mystery, the new birth, it calls it a mystery. And you know what? It's a mystery to the church. The new birth is a mystery to the church. The church has accepted the wisdom of men and what the men say about it. Go to the Bible and read it. Get it in yourself what the Bible says about it. Hallelujah. Walk in the light of, you know, it was one of the things that I learned, especially when I first got born again. I listened to Kenneth Hagin's testimony over and over about him getting off the deathbed and what happened to him when he got born again. When he got off the deathbed, the first thing he would tell everybody when they'd meet him and they would ask about him and stuff, he'd tell them, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. And they'd all look at him like he's a nut. See, he was a guy walking around confessing he ain't the same guy anymore. I'm a new creation. I'm different. 99.9% of Christians will come and tell you, well, yeah, I'm a child of God. I had my sins forgiven. That is their experience. That's it. They never confess being a new person, so they never act like a new person. Kenneth Hagin learned that, and I remember listening to him over and over about that. And see, I wanted it to get in me. I'm a new creation. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm not the same person. And you know why my wife got born again? Because she said, I'm living with a different man. She didn't say, I'm living with a forgiven guy. No, I became a new creation. My life changed. If your life isn't changed, you ain't got a testimony. What are you going to talk about? You know what the people who haven't been born again talk about in Christianity? They talk about their forgiveness of sin all the time. Well, see, God's forgiven me. I'm still living like hell, but God forgives me. It's good preaching, folks. We've left the new birth. I'm going to tell you, most churches and most spirit-filled churches have left the new birth in the dust. They've moved on to seeker-friendly. It's easier to get somebody there and let them live like hell and just say their sins are forgiven and they'll stay in your church and give you checks. We could talk like we have something big going. What is big going? It is an enormous thing when somebody gets born again. We don't have anywhere in Scripture that heaven rejoices when somebody gets their sins forgiven. I'll tell you, somebody gets born again, heaven gets excited. And there ain't as much excitement going on in heaven as most of the church thinks. Because so many are not getting born again. And see, we need to come back. The wisdom of the new birth. The wisdom of the new birth. Hallelujah. I believe if you offer somebody something that's real, that's true. Number one, you can't preach with any kind of conviction to anybody something you ain't got. I can preach with conviction. I know what I got. Hallelujah. See, anybody can sit and tell me why I don't believe it. I don't care what they say. They never change me. Why? Because I've experienced it. I got it. So it don't matter what you say. You know, if I'm standing up here and I got a check for $1 million in my pocket, you can tell me I don't. I keep saying I got one in. It don't matter what you say. I know what's in my pocket. See, most Christians got a dime in their pocket. That's all they got. They got a 10-cent Christianity. When they have $1 million, you're born again, you got $1 million in your pocket, man. Hallelujah. And it don't matter what anybody says. And you got to live and walk it out like you got the million in your pocket. Hallelujah. I know what I am. I know what I have. You know, let the poor say I'm rich. Don't let the poor say they're poor. Well, you just got to always have, you know, Jesus said you're going to always have the poor with you. Well, sure, there's always going to be people that ain't going to have nothing because they won't follow God. It wasn't God's plan. It was because wisdom wasn't taught. They weren't taught who they were. They weren't taught what God's done for them and what God said He will do for them. Well, I want to look at, we want to go to verse, we're going to go the whole way to verse 3, and we're going to deal with verse 3 here today. In verse 3, it is said to this. I want you to see this, but now understand, this first chapter is so important. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know this chapter was this, the first chapter was as important as it was until God really dealt with me about it, how important this chapter is. It's because this lays the foundation of everything else that's said out through the rest of Proverbs. It lays the foundation concerning wisdom. Now, in verse 3 says, what is all this for? It says that we know wisdom and instruction, or we use discipline, to perceive the words of understanding. He said to receive instruction of wisdom. Now, that word they translated there, wisdom, is actually a different word than the first word used in the chapter before in wisdom. This one here has the idea of good sense. Good sense. That wisdom is having good sense. Now that's not something that a lot of people have. So perceive. So in other words, having that definitely means to have good sense. It could be also the idea of intelligence. So think of this. Think about this. God's word, God comes along and puts it over in the areas. Intelligence is based with God. See, it doesn't matter how smart you are, how intellectually smart you are, is what information do you have with that intellect? There's people who are, man, I'm going to tell you what, like, you know, there's people out here like, say, a physicist, and he can just take numbers and go crazy with them and that kind of stuff. But if his wisdom is just based on all natural things and that stuff, so, I mean, that's all he got. That's his intellect. But his intellect, we notice this, intellect can keep you away from God. It's taught in the New Testament that people, the thinkers, they have a hard time accepting. You have that all the time. Scientists, you know. I always get a kick out of the things. Now, thank God there's Christians over in the areas of science, but they use these Christian scientists. And they'll come along with the Christian scientists, and they're trying to prove to you naturally that the unseen realm is true. Man, that don't work. You're going to have to accept things by faith. You don't have no faith. There's no faith for what is already proven that you can see. You don't have to have faith for that. You know, they sit around and say, well, we're just really trying to find as much proof as we can about David and Solomon and all this stuff. I'm sorry, the Bible said they're real. I don't care what any man says. Why? Because I'm born of the Spirit. I know by the Spirit living in me, it is the truth. I do not have to see David. I don't have to go visit Solomon. You don't have to dig up artifacts for Ed. But the people that need artifacts built over, they're faithless. See, I might say it's neat when they find certain things, but it isn't trying to get me to believe. I knew it was true anyhow. You know, I get these letters, you know, they want to send one of them scientists to come here, you know, to the church and get up here and teach, talk about proving this. Sorry, have no interest. It's not going to move people into faith. We already got the Bible said it's true. We don't need you to go to digging up. I don't care if they don't ever find or whoever fights over the thing with Noah's Ark. I'm sorry, it done believed it. It's so. And you ain't going to get me to change on the subject. They say, well, you just won't listen. Amen, brother. I heard God. And if I'm dumb enough to listen to man, I'm the idiot. God has spoken. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter. You can, and here's one, you can prove to people things are true. That don't change nothing. You know what changed Ed Gibson? He got born again. We've gotten away from it. We're so trying to convince people. This is what this seeker-friendly church is about, is trying to use the natural to convince people to do something spiritual. That is diabolically opposed to the Word of God. It is demonic. I don't know why they don't call them what they really are, the demonic church. They're not seeker-friendly. They're trying through the natural. I don't have to. I've met people already, and they say, well, I would accept Jesus if I know where Cain got his wife. I said, you know what? When you end up in hell, you're going to find out. And you ain't going to care at all what the answer was. Because that's not what's important. You're willing to go to hell over trying to figure out Cain. That is, you know, that's the devil. The devil blinds men. He blinds people. Instead of, we don't preach the gospel to them. We don't tell them about Jesus. What God will move on, the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin, not to make them feel good. It's not the feel-good church, not the one the Holy Spirit's in. The Holy Spirit is never in the feel-good church. He can't even get in once that their people are saved, because if he convicts them of sin, they feel guilty and they don't want him there. They want to still live in sin and feel good. I want the feel-good church. That's what we're interested in. Give me the feel-good church. Correction's a bad thing today. Correct. You know, you're out here driving down the road going the wrong direction. Wouldn't you want to find out? You know? Not the church. Mm-mm. No, don't tell me. I want to end up in the ditch someplace. Please let me go. Oh, my. Well, anyhow, so the word here, so in other words, we are reading this about our, talking about instruction, which is discipline, this wisdom or good sense, having good sense. In other words, we need good sense, don't we? See, now what we talk about is what we say is common sense. But you need to know, like us sitting here, most all of us, you know, I got 70 years on me. And, you know, what I was taught and raised concerning right things to do, there was many things that we were taught years ago, because even nationally, most of the nation wasn't opposed to God. Today, we are. Today, our government is opposed to God, mostly. I mean, look how many people yell and scream when the president tries to do something for the church. They hate it. They don't want God. That's the last thing they want is God. Now, understand, you're dealing with this. Why? It's the way that they're raised and they have been raised. See, we were raised, you know, there was certain ethical and moral values that were standard. When I went to school, there was ethics and moral values. And if you were outside of them, you were the freak. Today, if you're moral, you're the freak. You're the freak. But understand, but you need to understand why. It's because they didn't end up freaks. They were taught to be freaks. Christians send their kids to school to be taught to be freaks. They pay their kids. I'm amazed sometimes some of the colleges that parents, Christian parents pay to send their kids. And you know the kid's going to end up thinking like hell when they're done. You know, what they're going to be, and they're paying to help them get there. You see, more than ever, as parents, we're going to have to do something about raising our kids and making sure they're being taught. See, there's one thing about, I never expected the school to take care of spirituality for me. Our kids were taught, and this is the way we taught them, God said. You know, today we're teaching, well, you just find your way in what you think and let them learn themselves. They're like, they're going to learn and find out. No, they're not. Children don't, it don't work that way with children. Proverbs tells you it don't work that way with children, but the church could care less what the Bible says about it. We go with society today. You know, we don't want to do anything to let that little brain expand and let it go. If you don't keep that little brain under control from the time it's a baby, I'm going to tell you, when it hits 15, you'll never get control back. It's gone. My kids did not have control of their mind when they were growing up. I did. And if you don't, you're a fool. I decided what they were going to learn and talk about. I just tell them, say, you want to learn something, do something else. You get old enough, you can go do whatever you want. But you're here at this place. I wasn't their best friend. I was a leader. We don't have them in the church world today. There's no leaders. There's no leaders in the homes. People don't bring things to a stop. We're so afraid. Well, you know, we want our kids to be liked in school by everybody and everything else. I'm sorry. This really wild man, Jesus, he was a freak who is not believed mostly in the church world today. This guy said, you know, that you're going to suffer persecution. He said, you're gonna. You're gonna. See, we don't want to. We want a comfort Christian life. There is not. I'm just telling you, that will not happen from now on. The comfort Christianity is done. There's going to be in or out. There's not going to be in-betweens. There's not going to be some with one foot in and one foot out. They'll either be in or they'll be out. It's gone. It's done. It's going to be very difficult and hard for a lot of people because most people are too weak-willed. Too weak-willed. They want to have it the same with everybody and everybody like them and everybody. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen like that. It's not. We want to move of God, and this last day move of God is going to shake things up, and it's going to make things very uncomfortable for people. Revivals always do. There's always groups that get very uncomfortable. And one of the things that we need to realize, it's one of the best places we can be in. Because the greatest changes will come. The greatest changes will come in these times. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's got to be great changes. You can't stay the way you are anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. Not to be the same. You know, you think about it. I mean, we sit and fight with people over this stuff, but really what's going on? Just think about this. The devil don't want us singing in the building together. You know, he don't want you singing. You're going to praise God and get sick. Do you realize most of the church believes that? Yeah. Well, they believe it. You know, get together. Churches meet and they don't sing because somebody might get sick. Our stupid weenie God, this stupid little idiot about this high that we serve, COVID-19 is this giant, and we serve this little weenie who can't take care of you. That we know that our God, the 91st Psalm, he never said that. That was just David on a little wine and, you know, probably some mushrooms and just had a little trip out there somewhere. The secret place of the Most High. David probably was tripping, fell in the closet, the wife kicked the door shut. He thought he went somewhere. He took a trip. Well, it might as well be said as so. People don't believe it. See, this is why. You can fight all the constitutional battles you want until the church believes it's true. You won't be afraid of all the other stuff. You won't fear if the Bible's true. See, you can't have health and fear. It will not happen. You can't eat the right stuff. Fear will kill you eating all the right stuff. It don't matter. Fear is one of the most diabolical things. And that's what Satan wants you afraid. See, Satan, this is why Christians lose their joy. See, if you don't stay over in the wisdom of God, you lose your joy in this time. You see what other people, everybody else going nuts, And it makes you lose your joy. Well, see, you lose your wisdom. You got to stay over in the Word of God. You got to understand they're in their place because that's where they're taught to be. And until that's changed, me getting frustrated about it ain't gonna change nothing. See, we need a move of God. That's what we need. And we're dealing with this. We're dealing with a wisdom, people who don't have sense. And now the people that don't have this sense, you know, what the scripture tells us here, it says to receive instruction and wisdom. But what's the instruction or the good sense about? Now listen to what it says. He names three things: justice, judgment, and equity. Lists three things. Three things. This good sense that we're talking about. Well, this good sense is supposed to be in judgment, is justice, judgment, and equity. That's what we're supposed to have. And so we will talk about that. But we want to get in the areas of good sense. You know, it really does take the areas of discipline. You know, let me just say this. Let me say this before we go on any further. You know, Proverbs 22:15 says this: foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from them, far from him. You know, now just think of this. God's word said that a child's heart is foolish. It didn't say good, it's good and just let it expand and do what it wants. Do you see what it says? It says it's bound in it. Now understand, I don't care how much you love a little baby. That little baby has the sin nature. I don't care how much you think it's cute. If it ain't trained right, it grows up to be a little devil. It must be trained properly. It's got to be trained properly. That's what's going to make the difference. Foolish. Now, when we say the rod of correction, he says not talking about beating a kid. Correction deals with the areas of instruction, also discipline and things. But you're going to have to do it in a manner, like it says. You're going to have to, it's not some easy thing that you just let a child go. To discipline a child in the right way to go, it's going to take work and it's going to take time. And it's going to take consistent diligence of doing the same thing. Kids don't get it the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and 900 times later. They still ain't got it yet. And you're still working on them. And it takes persistence to continue to get them in a direction. And that's just being a child. It ain't nothing wrong with them. They're not weird. That's just part of growing up. That's just what it is. You know? You know, I remember all the times my mom used to have to knock on my head trying to wake me up, you know, and just stuff and things like that. But they just consistently. There's one thing is I was always thankful. My parents were very consistent. You know, if they said, don't do something one time, next time they didn't say it was okay. They said, it was always the same every time. You knew you were going to get the same answer every time you went. It was enough. The consistency. Well, see, if you do that, the only reason people get so frustrated so many times with their children is because of their own inconsistencies. And they're frustrated with their kid. But really, their kid is the one who's frustrated. One time it's all right, the next time it isn't. One time this, one time that, you know. Things up, down, in and out. It's being consistent. Consistency saves you a lot of time. It does. I could have stood in front of my parents most of the time and told them exactly what they're going to say. Because they were consistently telling us the same thing. And you got over it. Well, you knew it. You just knew it. And if you're going to do something, if I'm going to do it behind their back, I'm going to have to make no, they ain't no one ever going to find out because it comes to whooping. They're going to do it consistently. It ain't going to, well, we let you go this time. No, it's going to get whooped. That's the way it's going to be. So you always had those things to think of. But our parents weren't beating us all the time or anything. But they would correct us. They wouldn't let things go. They'd deal with us. And when I look at it, when you look at it, I come from a family of 9 children, and all of them grew up, and we all tried to live like hell, and we all tried to go to hell as best we could and end up all getting saved and getting in line with God. Ain't that about the nuttiest thing you ever heard? And all these Christians out here praying night and day trying to keep their kids in line. You can pray all you want. What are you doing? What you're doing means more. You know, if I want to be, it's my grandchildren. If I want to be a blessing to them, it is to live my life like I'm supposed to live in front and around them when I'm around them. There's no consistency. People out here are nothing but chameleons today. Whoever they're with, Christians, whoever they're with, that's exactly who they're like. They get around your kids, they turn into something else. They get around with them, they come to church, and all of a sudden they're this real big spiritual thing. And most of the time they eat that at all. See, this consistency, because why? It is the trainer and it's the teacher. The thing that really impressed me so much, like with Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Hagin was like God. He was the way he was all the time. And see, that's, you need that. We need that. We're living in a world with no wisdom because there's no consistency in it. There's no consistency in our world today. People are so inconsistent. And people are seeing this all the time, and the inconsistency leads people to become the same way. Wisdom doesn't change. Wisdom stays the same because God doesn't change. So we want to walk and we want to continue in the areas of following God. Now, justice. Let me tell you this word justice, because we hear about today we want justice. And really the idea here, justice, is the word refers to treating other people as equals. The idea of justice is treating people as equals. See, and don't we have that? Like, look at our justice system. You've heard me talk about this before. We have a statue with a lady who's holding these scale, and she has a blindfold on. And the whole point of the blindfold is everybody's equal. Well, we can bust her head off and throw it away, because that ain't so today. You lose wisdom, there's no way to have justice. There is not justice in America. This is justice in America. You kill somebody, they get you a lawyer. The guy that gets killed, his family gets nothing. They'll do 27 court battles trying to keep that individual out of prison. You know, I was just reading an article about the woman who had the first facelift, where they've actually put a new face. She got a graft skin. Her husband shot her in the face with a shotgun to kill her. Well, then he tried to shoot himself, but he lived. But anyhow, they took him to court. He got 7 years in prison. Now, she just died. She's 50-something years old, 54 or 55 years old or something. She died. But he got 7 years in prison. That's real justice, isn't it? Is that treating people as equals? You know, we get an idea from the law. The law was an eye for an eye, for tooth was for tooth. In other words, today we think, well, that's a terrible thing. No, it was about equality. It was showing God wasn't different to anybody. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to go over and do that today, but sometimes it would be a good idea. But we have this thing today where there's no justice. If you're wealthy, you're going to have a better justice system for you than if you're poor. That's just the way it is. There's no equality in it. The whole point, our founders wanted equality among people. Hey, now just think about this. These were mostly rich guys who wrote this thing. And they wanted equality among people. They didn't write it so rich guys get better. They wrote that everybody's supposed to be on the same plane. They did. Sounds like pretty nice rich guys, you know, that did this. Why? Because they had some true wisdom. They had wisdom from God. They're right. And that's what you need to understand. Your Constitution was written because of these men, what they knew about the Bible. The Constitution was not the Holy Writ to them. The Bible's the Holy Writ. And those words are supposed to be in line. And it's just like today. We need a justice system that is actually just. Our justice system is unfair to loads of people. I mean, I worked in a prison system. You were talking about a place of inconsistency. Man, our judges are idiots. I mean, it didn't matter. We get guys with a rap sheet. I'm sorry, we've had guys with rap sheet, 30 or 40 arrests. And they would come along and commit one crime. And one guy over here, he commits one crime. That's it. He has his first time in. They sentence him longer than the guy who has 20-some crimes on him. It's like, justice is unjust? There's no justice. One thing as I learned is being in the system. Justice does not exist. It has nothing to do with nothing. I saw people and stuff incarcerated because a politician didn't like a certain person, had him arrested illegally. There was a guy held in Lebanon County Prison. And they moved him to Lebanon County Prison from Lancaster to get him out of that area because a politician down in Lancaster County. This kid was 19, and the guy's daughter was 19 years old. They ran off together. Now, they're both old enough to. They ran off together down to Florida. This guy sends down and has her brought back and him brought back and put him in jail for kidnapping his daughter. He never kidnapped her daughter. And they moved him to Lebanon County, and the crooks in Lebanon County let them bring him up here, know what was going on, and put him in. You know what the bad part about it? Here's the terrible thing about what we call a justice system. None of our Republicans and all of our conservative and judges and lawyers wouldn't touch it. We had to get the ACLU to step in to get the kid freed. We had to go to the ones they say is bad. No, our people are just as bad. They're just as rotten and no good when it comes down to money and influence. Why? Because they don't have no wisdom, because they have no godliness. They can't have wisdom. Being conservative or not doesn't make you godly. Conservatives have become so ungodly, it amazes me. I'm almost ashamed to be tied to the same party with them. And we know, look how much they hate Trump, because he don't play the political game. And they hate him. Loads of the Republic, people call themselves conservatives, don't like him. Why? We have a system, and our system is more important. I mean, the Constitution is toilet paper to most of our people in charge. It's something they abuse and use when they want to. They use it and twist it to get you to vote for them, but they have no intentions of following things. And why? I ain't going to fight with them about that, because number one, I know why they do it. They're ungodly. They can't have wisdom. They can't do the right thing. And if they know the right thing and they won't do it, oh man, they're in huge trouble. They're in huge trouble. Enormous. But see, what we want, so we as Christians, it is our obligation to you and I to be people who are just. We got to learn to do that. You treat everybody the same. You treat in the same manner. See, people don't generally do that. I see it all the time in people, you know. If their kid does something wrong and somebody else does wrong, they're yelling at the kid that did something or other kids that did something wrong. They're always much more lenient on their kid than they are on somebody else. And they'll say, well, it's my child. What has that got to do with it? You just taught your child to be unjust. So don't be surprised they grow up ungodly. You taught them to. That's one thing is in the church with my daughters. I expected the same out of them. I never treated from the standpoint of everybody, all the other kids in the church. They didn't get away with things because they were the pastor's kid. I was in churches and I watched it all the time. Pastor's kids got away with stuff all the time. And I never got so much you just disrespect ministers because you still see their injustice. They're not just people. See, you can't do that. See, I knew this because God dealt with me. You got to portray to people. You got to live what you say you believe. Because everybody's watching. This is why there's so many ungodly Christians that they don't follow, because there are so many unjust Christians demanding right things from the Bible, but they don't live by it. Everybody else is supposed to. Thus saith the Lord. Oh my, okay, maybe I better duck back here. It's just looks get pretty tense. No, I'm serious. I mean, think about it. Why would you want your child to be less responsible than the other guy's child? Why would you want that? I mean, that's stupidity. That's ignorance gone to seed. But for somehow, there's a reasoning that sort of makes that for some people think that is a thing that's good. Judgment. Judgment is a simple thing. It's dealing with just judging things correctly. When you judge, you take two or more different things and you judge them. Well, according to whatever wisdom that you have, you're going to judge it. Of it being, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? You're going to judge things. Now, number one, these people say, well, you don't judge. Well, now that's absolutely, there's no one person that ever lived up to that standard, not even Jesus. We know Jesus judged things. We can find in scriptures. He judged, we see he comes in the Pharisees. He tells them, but he said, you guys are a bunch of whitewashed tombs. Well, then Jesus is probably in hell today. He's probably in hell because he judged something. Why would he say that? It's because Jesus didn't understand. Jesus judged the actions of people or what people said. He wasn't judging them as an individual. You're supposed to judge, Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them. Well, how could I know them if I have no standard to judge it by? It must be judged to figure it out. How could I do that? We judge actions and we judge what's said. People, whether they're going to heaven or hell, what's going to be, that's all over in God's hands. There's no mercy. You know, I ain't the guy called on to find out whether you're going to go to heaven. You know whether you're following Jesus and what, you know whether you got born again. You know that. You know, you can put on a good, there's religious people who put on a good act. But see, we don't judge that. But we do judge. You must judge actions and you must judge things that are said. We do it. I mean, I want to tell you what, try this. Try this for one day to never judge anything. Now you walk into your kitchen and you go over to your refrigerator, pull it open, and there's a quart of milk sitting in there and it's all curdled. You ain't allowed to judge it. You got to drink it. Oh yeah, you can't judge. Judge not, lest you get judged. Don't judge it. See, nobody can live to that standard. That's all just stupid religious talk. You know, I was in the court. I got called to jury duty, and I was in it. And this woman, they asked about the people couldn't have reasons they couldn't be on, and she said, she's a Christian, she's not allowed to judge. Oh, I just felt like jumping up and saying, you know, if your kid walked in the house today smoking a joint, you wouldn't say nothing about it. You wouldn't judge that at all, would you? You wouldn't say a thing. And you wouldn't punish him for it because you can't judge. You'd probably take a joint with him, you know? Yeah, let me try. Let's see what this is good. No, you're judging. So you're judging. You judged to find out whether it was good or not. You judged. You know, when a woman said, I thought, what a stupid Christian. What an idiot. You know, I would think that if you were if I was going to court for something, I would think I'd want a bunch of honest people that knew God to be sitting on the jury. No, turn them all over to the devil's people to figure this out. That's Christianity. That's the morons of the day. Christians, I don't want to get jury duty. I might do something good. I would want to do that. Oh, you feel uncomfortable about that? Good. You should. We're always acting like we're smart, know so much. We have an opportunity to show it, and we're the first ones to run off. Maybe I ought to go to another book of the Bible. What do you think? This one gets too tense. Hallelujah, judge. But what do you think for judgment? What do you want Christians judging? Wouldn't somebody, as me, as I look at, I like to know somebody who knew God. might be helpful. But I guess that don't go over so big anymore. I just, you know, turn them over to the heathen. Let them have it. But we have turned it over to the heathen. Look what's happened. You're living with the stuff on the streets, and the church put a lot of it there. Praise God. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Here, you know, it's one of the things we want to, we look at a word we don't use very much today anymore is the word equity. What is equity? Equity, again, is really goes toward the justice thing. Because if you look at legal documents and things and stuff that were written, that you'll find the word lots of times dealing with justice and equity and things are used. And equity is a word we don't use today. Today we mostly use slang words. So people don't know what, like these kind of words are used. And even Christians don't usually have no idea what equity means. You know, they think that's the amount of money they got in their house that they have. And I have so much equity in it. But that's not what this is talking about, you know. This here is leans toward the things dealing with justice. Because really it's ideas, evenness or fairness or impartiality. That must be a big thing with God. Because wisdom's tied to this stuff. Must be a big thing. Well, see, if God is the same and he changes not, then if I want to be like God, I'm going to have to be the same. And I want to be the same. See, when Jesus died, he didn't look at... Now, just think about it. Jesus is God. God's going to want to save the world. Now, when God wants to save the world, we know this. He's going to send Jesus before the foundation of the world. He decided to do this. In other words, before the earth itself was ever created, before there was anything here, before anything ever happened, God had already knew what was going to happen. If he didn't, he ain't God. He doesn't know everything, but he knew everything. He knew in creation. He wasn't surprised when Adam sinned. He had already planned the redemption of man before he ever created it. See, God figured out how he's going to save us knuckleheads before we knuckleheads ever got here. He already had a plan to do it. You know, God is not surprised. Did God just find out about COVID-19, you know, when the Chinese were having trouble with it? He sees all this stuff, that he sees what all is going to happen. He knows how we were going to react, what we're going to do. He knows all these things. He knows all this stuff. He knows the spiritual condition of the church when this happens. He knew that before. He didn't plan it. The church planned it. we planned our spiritual conditions by what we did, whether we were walk close with God or we didn't. We planned it. And because God is always trying to get people ready for things ahead of time or to avoid things. He's always trying to. There's things along that I know in my walk that there's things that I realized after things went along that I could have avoided certain things if I would have paid attention, but I didn't. I could have avoided them. But the average idea of the church is that if it happened, it was the will of God. Such nonsense is beyond reason. It's just total insanity. I mean, I could sit and tell you story after story of people came along to me about things, and I just think, how can people be so dumb? I mean, it's just, life proves out all the time that they're 1,000% incorrect, what they're saying. But they still go the same old way, and their ideas about God, they never change, never gain wisdom. And the Word will give you wisdom. Just think about God. God will give you the wisdom to overcome in every area of your life. If you want it, you can have it. You can have it. It's yours. God doesn't withhold. God gave you the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God living inside of you. It's a person of the Godhead inside of you to reveal to you. And he plans on you failing. Well, then what's he there for? No, he's there to make you a success. He's there. You can listen and gain the wisdom of God all the time. Wasn't enough. God anointed ministers to come and preach the word and teach the word to you. He gave you the teacher in you, but he also put people to teach the word and to do it. God's doing everything he can to try to reach people who are trying to, like crazy, to do everything but what God wants them to do and running the other direction, doing everything in their own idea and their own way. Instead of listening to God. Now we have X-ray. In other words, we're doing, if we're going to follow this out, we're going to be, you know, to treat, you know, everybody from the standpoint equally. We talked about that before. But this again is doing things evenly. Not just in the area of justice, but in life. You know, truth applies to everything. Wisdom is amazing because it applies. Now, we might have certain wisdoms that are given us under certain circumstances to do certain things. But wisdom is always to be practiced. In other words, wisdom in a circumstance should be practiced. God taught me that when I learned about healing. When I tell you, you know, told you guys, you know, the story of what happened to me, God gave me wisdom what it was to act on the word. Well, you know what he expected me to do? He expected me to operate equally every time that sickness came up to act in the same manner. See, that's the wisdom of the word. It's equity. Why? Because God operates the same way. He doesn't change. He changes not. So if I'm applying the word, in other words, if I'm applying the word a certain way. Now, God has other ways sometimes that he heals. He can heal through people laying hands on the people and stuff. Well, there's certain things that you want to practice concerning that. There's certain things as us as individuals, whoever's laying the hands on and that kind of thing. One of the things we have, people don't use wisdom. The Bible tells us faith pleases God. Many times we're trying to get people healed and pray for them and never try to bring them to faith at all. Most people are not going to get healed by a gift of faith in operation. Most people, and especially most people in the church, like we have a spirit-filled church here. Kenneth Hagin talked about in 12-year period that he pastored, he said he only had 3 people in 12 years in his who were in his church ever got healed by a gift of the Spirit. Only 3 people in 12 years. We first started the church, God would sometimes operate through a gift to me to heal people, but he hasn't for a long time, not in the church. I've been out places and I really, gifts will operate through me for other people out there. But see, you're taught how to operate by faith. You don't need gifts of Spirit. You don't need gifts of Spirit to get healed. You have no need for them. Gifts of the Spirit, the whole idea and the thought, that's why people come along and say, someone says God gave me the gift of healing, so I have the gift of healing. Nobody has the gift of healing. It operates as the Spirit wills. Nobody has them. Nobody has those gifts. You don't walk around with those in your pocket. The church understands very little about this. There's some people who have healing ministries. They operate on a different level than gifts of the Spirit. Many times, like I've seen Benny Hinn already operating in his ministry where gifts of healing never went into operation. He's operating under the gift of healing that operates through him is the one that is a ministry gift. It is not a, it's not a, a gift that works every once in a while with a, by the Holy Spirit to heal a person. Yet Benny could have that happen. He may have it happen once in a while, but mostly he doesn't. He's been given a special healing anointing by God. Kenneth Hagin had a special healing anointing by God. And Kenneth Hagin said many times that he ministered, no gifts of healing ever went into manifestation. But whoever, you need to understand this. If somebody has a healing ministry, a special healing ministry, you're going to have to operate in faith to get that thing to work for you. I don't know why the Holy Ghost is moving this direction, but let me just say this. If you want healed by a gift of healing, it's because you don't want to operate in faith. Because that's where they work. Almost every time I've ever had a gift of healing work for me through an individual, it was because they didn't have faith for it and didn't understand how to do it, and it worked. Gifts of healing, he will heal you. If a gift of healing goes in manifestation, it'll heal whether you're in faith or not. See, when you get to be a born-again Christian, you're going to have... I've had already people, like even since we're here, I've had people already who I've ministered to that, they would come from another church or come to something and other things. Numbers of times, somebody come here the first time and comes forth once for healing, loads of times they'll get healed. And they get healed not because of their faith. Loads of times I know, when I touch them, I know they're not in faith. Now, I don't know why you don't always know that, but I know that lots of times even when people come up front to be healed, I touch them. I can tell they're not in faith. And especially if the healing anointing's on me, if the anointing is on me to heal, if I touch somebody, lots of times I can tell whether it's flowing or not, whether the anointing's gone. I can always tell. You can tell. I can tell. I stick my finger in that socket. I can tell you whether there's electric in there or not. I can tell you there's a flow. I can tell when there's a flow in me. I can tell when the power is moving in me. I can tell that. And so sometimes you can just tell. Some people, nothing. Now, you can't always go, and this is why you got to learn it. You got to follow the wisdom of God. You got to learn the things of the Spirit. There's times in that stuff. I had ministered to a guy years ago, and I've told the story. He had a metal bar in his back, and his back was vertebrae were welded together, and I laid hands on him, he came up with faith, and all I'm doing is praying by faith. I had no anointing on me, a sense of power going out of me or anything. No feeling whatsoever. He asked me about it. He came up after the service. I had been ministering before in the service. And understand this. This will help you out. If you see me operating on the anointing, don't you wait till after the service and everything goes, because most of the time the anointing lifts and I will not be able to minister to you under the anointing. Get your lazy behind off and get up here if you want it. And I'm just saying that unkindly. I don't understand why. But when you see that it's working, get in it. Why wait till after? Because most of the time I don't. I was ministering to people, and he saw people ministering under the anointing. But understand this, he had never been around this kind of stuff. And he saw people fall under the power and stuff, and he wasn't quite so sure about what that was about. But anyhow, so he come up afterwards and told me he wanted prayer concerning his back. But he didn't tell me everything about his back. He just said he wanted prayer about his back. So I... hey, I don't have the anointing on it, but we can always pray by faith. And so I just spoke to him, tell him a little bit about the Word of God, told him, see, I'm just going to do what the Word says. I'm going to lay hands on you. And I said to him, I said, the power of God's going to go into you to bring a healing and a cure. I laid hands on him. I didn't feel any power go into him. I don't have to feel it. I'm operating by faith. See, I'm talking by faith. I'm not talking. If I went by seeing, I'd have thought, hey, nothing happened. Let's just go home. Let's go eat lunch. Let's go to the restaurant right now, you know. Eat a burger, that'd be the best. I laid hands on him. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a call. And this guy's on the, he's there on the phone and he's a bit excited. And I think, well, that's nice. He's excited. He said, and then he began to tell me everything about it happened. Anyhow, he said he was wrong. He dropped something on the floor. He says, Norman, doctors had told him he wasn't allowed to really pick up anything or hold anything. Like he wasn't supposed to, like, over 5 pounds. I thought, man, that really limits you in life. 5 pounds, really. You can't do a whole lot, can you? You know? But he told me that. I didn't know about that going into this thing. And he said, he told me he had something in his hand. I don't remember what it was, but it fell on the floor. And he said, I couldn't, like, he could not bend over to pick things up because of his vertebrae welded in this rod in his back. I don't know how that rod thing goes or whatever it is. I don't know if it's a dipstick or what. I don't know what they put in there. He just said it was a rod in his back. I don't know. But anyhow, he said, I just wasn't thinking about it. He said, I bent over and picked it up. And he said, I picked it up and had it in my hand for a little while. And all of a sudden, he said, it dawned on me, I bent over and picked that up. He said, I didn't even realize I did it. So he said he started testing this thing out. He could move all around and he could move everything. Well, he was really excited, but he went back to the doctor and he found out he don't even have that. His vertebrae aren't welded together anymore and he don't have a metal bar in his back. Say, where'd it go? I don't know. I didn't do nothing about it. All I did was pray. I didn't have a clue. He said, where'd it go? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think Jesus needed it in heaven or anything. I don't think there's anybody up there got a problem. And so I don't know. But it happened. The thing vaporized, went somewhere. It went to something. And but anyhow, he's completely well. And I didn't have any sense of anything happening. And so this is why, you know, is dealing with these areas. This is why it's learning in the areas of wisdom. We really need to know. We're living today in a nation, and mostly the church world, is all sight, touch, taste, and feel. Majority of the church. We know very little about this. You know, we want to have feelings when power's on us or in miracles. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and this years ago when I was first started off. He said this, he talked about, he said, the greatest miracles, he said, that I have experienced in my ministry were done when we just prayed by faith. He said, concerning, he said, the greatest, he said, even, he said, if I would take the special anointing that Jesus, he got caught up to heaven, Jesus gave him a special anointing. All the people were here with that. He said, the greatest ones were, he said, where I was just operating by faith. I had no sense of anointing on me at all. We just prayed by faith. He talked about people. He said, get healed while you're preaching the word. They would just act on the word. See, we've lost that today in the church. People don't act on the word. People are too, I don't know, we're too stiff. We're too, you know, we're always waiting for a right time or a right something or other. I don't know. We need to stop this. We need to get ourselves over. He talked about people getting up and walking out of wheelchairs, right? He said, you teach the word. They believe the word and act on the word. He said, nobody ministering to them. Nobody done. They would just believe the word and walk out of a wheelchair. And see, he went on to talk about all the different things that happened to people. He talked about a meeting where a lady came. A lady was in a wheelchair. She had he said what kind of arthritis was. I don't know what it is. But anyhow, her body was, you know, completely stiff. And she was in a wheelchair. Her body couldn't bend. She'd have to be in a wheelchair all the time. And he talked about it. He said he was ministering in a service and that stuff. And they had brought her in late or something like that. And he had been done ministering and he didn't have the anointing. All he did is he went over to her. He laid his Bible on her, where 1 Peter 2:24 was, and laid it down and said to her, read that. He said, I had no anointing. So he said, we're going to move in the areas of, we want a faith, the word. And she read it, and he talked to her and used the thing. He said, you know, about, it says, by his stripes you were healed. He said, what's word, words? Is that past tense or present tense? Or, you know, future, what is it? And she said, well, that's past tense. And she looked at him and she said, he's already healed me. He said, yeah. He said, he's already healed. By his stripes you were healed. She said, well, I'm already healed. Now, all they're doing, they're going to act in faith. Now, this is something I wish I could get people to do, and they don't. Because most people will never act in faith. They come forward in silence, and they leave in silence. And then they stay sick, and they stay hurting, and they never act on their faith. This woman, without no prompting. I often wonder why some people just get it and know what to do, and other people, you can write them a book on it, and they still can't get it, or still don't get it. And she raised her hand, sitting there, not one ounce better, nothing, and started to worship and praise God that he healed her. She said, Jesus, I'm just so thankful. This is what he said. She said, Jesus, I'm just so thankful you've healed me. I am so glad I don't have to stay in this chair anymore. And there she is, sitting in the chair. See, Christians know little about faith. They only know about feeling. Well, if I stood up, then I'm going to thank him for healing me. Well, any monkey could do that. There's no faith in that. You don't need any faith to do that. She's sitting there, but she's believing she's healed when she has no sign of healing. But she's believing the word is true. So she begins to act like the word is true. And he said, she sat there that 10, 15 minutes, and she just thanked and praised and thanked God. Just worship, thank God. She did it on her own. I thought, my God, I'd take a run around the place just to have a person do that. I've been so exciting. And anyhow, so Kenneth Hagin said, I looked at her and said, sister, get up in the name of Jesus. And she stood up, walked right out of that thing. All that was just done by faith, but that scripture, they just believed the scripture together. See, we want something. We're looking for some kind of other wisdom, or we want some. This is what stopped the move of God in the church. We wanted an anointing, a feeling to come on us. We wanted something. We tangible. The word wasn't as potent as we used to believe it was. When I first came in the kingdom, we were dumb as a stick. If the Bible said to lay hands on something, we laid hands on anything and moved. We didn't know if it was, we just, you know, lay hands on it. What's it going to hurt? Lay hands on it. But it's amazing what God did. We would just act in faith because the Bible said to do. We didn't wait for this and wait for that and have this feeling or have that feeling. Yeah, we move along. I'd go along. Sometimes I did. Then God would turn around and anointing would come on me. Sometimes the Lord would speak to me certain things or something. I learned those areas. But we just would operate in the Word of God. I was in full gospel. You go to full gospel businessmen meeting. People were healed. None of those guys had special anointings. All kinds of things happened. Why'd they have? Because they were dumb enough to believe the Word. They used wisdom. We've left that today. We're waiting for a move of God that's here. Is the word here? Now, let me just say this to you. I'm going to tell you wisdom. This is wisdom. The power of God is always present. Always. The power of God is always present. Now, you might agree with me on that, but I just got to ask you, do you really believe that? We wouldn't do a lot of things that we do or say a lot of things if we actually thought that was true. You need to come to the place you believe that. You need to come to the place where all the time, see, number one, that'll change your prayer life. You stop this dumb prayer life trying to get a hold of God and all these people writing books about how to try to get a hold of God. I don't have to get a hold of God. He lives in me. His power is around me. We're not trying to get a hold of him. I've done more to try to get away from him than get to him sometimes. Haven't you? Now I want you to, so the power of God is already present. That, I'm going to tell you what. These are things of wisdom if we would just get a hold of. They will revolutionize your life. They'll change all the way that you think about things. The word of God won't be the same to you anymore. When you think about ministering, praying, the power of God is present. It's like the Lord told me last year at the end of the year when he was talking to me, because he had spoke to me about this before. Kenneth Hagin had taught on it, but he had said to me one day about ministering to people, because I had some questions about stuff and I was sort of asking him about some things before. This is back many years before that. But he had told me one day, he said to me, look, said, when you minister to people, and he was trying to encourage me about ministering to people, he said, The power of God is always present when you're wanting to minister healing to people. It's always present. He said, whether people receive it or not, that's up to them, but it's there. He said, when you touch them, my power is present to heal them. Always. Say, well, how do you know? Because Jesus said so. You see, people don't operate by faith. They want a feeling that the power is coming there. We know that the power can be there. Jesus, the Bible tells us concerning the guy they're going to drop down through a roof, tear the roof off, John, says the power of God was present to heal. How many healings took place? One. Why? Because there's only one group there. There's four guys that carried him, and the guy that was on the stretcher actually believed the power of God was present to heal. Their actions proved it. They weren't trying. They believed the power of God was present. And they dropped the guy down because they expected him to get healed. And we know they expected it because number one, when they're dropping him down, Jesus said he saw their faith. Faith about what? Were they believing for, a good salad? Fish and chips. Jesus is going to cook them a meal and open a soup kitchen. What's going to happen here? Why? They believed healing would take place. The power of God was present. He's the only one that God healed. I'll guarantee you, the rest of them people there, it was a bunch of sick women. Nobody got healed. The woman with the issue of blood. How many of you think, what are people crowding around Jesus for? Tuna sandwiches? The crowd's there to get healed, but they aren't believing the power is present. This woman says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll get healed. The power's present. Whenever you go to have somebody lay hands on you, don't you dare go in your unbelief to see if something's going to happen. What's going to happen. If you go and nothing happens, you need to sit down and say, you know what, I must be a knucklehead. The power's present. You know what I do anytime? Randall Greer's laid hands on me a number of times, for different things, for anointings. And every time I go up, before he lays hands on me, I say, when he lays hands on me, the power of God's going to come on to me and give me exactly what he said. That's what's going to happen. It has never failed. This is why I say people come silent, they leave in silence. There are no wisdom. We talk about faith saying things with your voice, and the Christians don't use it. And when I walk away, you know what I do? I talk like I got it. I don't care if I feel a thing. It don't matter what I feel. That has nothing to do with it. My faith will bring it into manifestation. It will happen. It has to happen. See, we got to come back to, we've left the wisdom of God. How can we have justice? How can we have equity? How can we have it? We don't even think God has any equity or justice toward us. We don't think we can trust him. Sometimes he does it, sometimes he don't. That can't be. That's unjust. That's not equality. Does he, what, God has a system and he set it up and he gives us the wisdom to use it and he expects us to use it. But the wisdom is fair to everyone and works every time the same way for everybody. He's not unjust to anyone. Some people don't get special healing and some people don't. There aren't some people God don't want to do it. It's to say, you got to get this stuff in you. You'd never stand before the seat of Christ and stand before him, and he's treating some people better than another. It would never happen. It would never happen. I can never imagine that God would ever think different about healing Ed than he would somebody else. I can't think like that. Why? You can't have faith and think like that. The only thing that leads to is faithlessness. That's what it'll lead you to. You start questioning the justice of God, the judgment of God, and the equity of God. You start questioning that, you can't be a person of faith. He must be true according to his word. He must be one who follows his word and does what it says. He has to. He must. Because if he doesn't, he's definitely not a God of wisdom. He has none. There's no wisdom that can be counted on. What do we count on? What do we do? Oh, I'm so glad we can count on it. Hallelujah. God is not only has justice concerning you and I, judgment and equity. He has something that trumps that, and it's called mercy. In spite of our dumb. I always expect to get something good from God because of that in itself. Even in spite of dumb Ed, he does good toward me. I always expect some good. God's doesn't take things from me. He gives me thanks. If God has to take it from you, you didn't want to give it up anyhow. You wanted it. And so he ain't going to take it from you. He won't do that. He won't rip something out of you that you don't want. That you say, I want to hold on to that thing. I want to keep it. He'll let you have it. So we want to follow this. Seeing God in the eyes of wisdom. He's a wise God. The reason he reveals himself to you, he wants to, like according to scripture, he wants you to know that he's always going to be just towards you. He's always going to be righteous towards you. He's always going to act in the same manner towards you. He wants you to know that. Why? Because that's the foundation of faith. Faith cannot be had if we don't know what the outcome would be. If it's sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. It's an impossibility. That's why when somebody, it aggravates me terrible when I hear a minister say, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says no. When I hear that, I think, you're supposed to be preaching to people to bring faith, and you're a robber and a thief. You'll steal every bit of faith out of people you can. Because you tell them you can't trust God, whether he's going to do it or not. Well, if I can't trust him, and then they have the nerve to talk about faith. They use the word faith. It's like, where did you get that from? Faith is on God's consistency. It's his wisdom. If anything we need is the wisdom of God. And God's word, to me, makes sense. Because I believe in a realm I can't see with the eye. I believe it's more real than this realm that I see. I believe, without any doubt in my heart, this realm that I see is going to be gone one day. This realm is temporal. The Bible says so. My body as it is, one day is going to be gone. It's not going to be like this anymore. I'm going to get a new glorious body. Hallelujah. Yeah, I won't look like Bubba anymore. I'll be cute. I'll tell you, it's going to be nice. Can you imagine having a body that's not a drag on you? A glorious body like Jesus? My God, we're going to see him and we're going to be like he is. Woo! My words. We'd take up a busload today and leave. I'll tell you. It's glorious. But see, those things are true. That realm is true. And see, our salvation is based on that. I don't know what most people base their salvation on. We don't like to think about the other side. That's the place we don't want to go. And when somebody goes there, we're mad because they went. Why don't you stay here miserable like me? But you know what it is? Paul said, go to be with Christ, which is far better. They went to far better. Went to far better. I'm just telling you, I'm looking forward to going to far better. Don't ever, Ed quits breathing and something, you know, don't resuscitate me. Let alone, just go be with Jesus. You know, people today, but everybody today, we don't like it. We act like it's lost. Nobody that knows Jesus is lost. None. He's kept every one of them. And you go to heaven, they're going to look at you and say, well, what took you so long? Why do you want to stay so bad? See, it's great over here. You're going to go to heaven, there's people waiting for a bus to leave to go to someplace else. I just... Yeah, we would have had someplace else. Heaven's okay, but I don't like perfect, you know. I just... Did you ever see these dumb movies that do that? You know, somebody, no, I would never want to live forever. I would never want to, you know, you ever see those movies that kind of, well, sure, as dumb as the people are in the movie, you don't want anybody to live that long. You want to put them to sleep halfway through the movie. It's like, no. But going to be with Jesus, think of the glory. And you know what? You're all going to like services where you go listen to teaching. You're going to want to. You would be upset if they didn't have them. You know, we need to understand this. Things are not going to change. The way we grow in that step by learning is going to be the same way over the other side. Faith still comes by hearing the word of God. And we're going to get to sit down. Can you imagine what it would be like to sit down in a service, have somebody who's not in the flesh teaching? They don't have flesh. So they don't have that encumbrance. You need to understand this. Nobody's gift works perfectly, because we're operating through imperfect vessels. I'm an imperfect vessel. It doesn't work. Nobody works perfect. Nobody does. Why? Because we work. Why would Paul say, you know, we see a glass darkly? If everything's working so perfect, it wasn't for him. We're imperfect vessels. And the anointing works through us imperfect. So we teach. You're sitting, you know, you have the Holy Spirit in you. It's a great teacher of the church, but he's operating through an imperfect vessel, and that imperfect vessel receives. Why? There's limitations to us because of our flesh and our things. And we have this, our minds trying to be renewed. We have this. Think about when you get to heaven. You don't have any more blockage of the flesh in learning. And we get the anointing in perfection. My words. I think people would want to hear that a lot, you know. The Word of God must be just such an powerful and an incredible flow of the Spirit. There was a minister whose son had died, and his son came back and told him about, he had gone up to heaven. He had died, and anyhow, it came back, but he was a minister. He's at Raymond, that stuff, and he has a ministerial group and things and stuff, and he's done a lot of things. God's used him in worldwide in numbers of things, but his son died, and his son came back and said, he was up in heaven, and he said, I went to this, he said, they took me, these angels took him, and they took him, there's this meeting, and he said, we're in this place, and he just said, people, all, he said, like, as far as I could see, we're all sitting in this area, he said, people. And he said, Kenneth Hagin was standing up on a stage in the front. And he said, he was standing on a stage talking, but he said it was the most incredible thing. He said, the anointing wasn't on him. The anointing was moving through him. And he said, it was just like the Holy Ghost moving through him, standing up there, going directly to the people. He said, it was the most phenomenal thing you ever want to see in your life. See, we walk in limitation here with the anointing upon. See, I think there's going to be a lot of difference on the other side of how things operate to how they do here. And he said, we were listening to him, and he said, it just amazed me just watching him. He said, it was like God speaking directly at you. He said it was through him, but he said it wasn't like it was him at all. I said, wow, that's pretty unique. We don't have that here. I mean, God could do something wild once in a while here, but generally we don't have those kinds of things in operation. And when we look on the other side, what is to come? We need wisdom on this side to live. It leaves us in really such a darkness of looking over there. That's why most of the church is always fighting to stay here and fighting this place. We can't see an end to this thing. And I can't wait till the end of this thing. Believing God and letting God work, taking wisdom. See, let's just go back to the simplicity of the word again. The word's true. We don't need another revelation. What we need to walk again in the revelation we've had. That's what God's waiting for right now. God's not waiting to bring anybody a new revelation. God is waiting for the church. This is why we have not had the move of God we want. Because until the church walks in what it has, they have no need for any more. We don't need a greater anointing when we don't walk in the anointing we have. We don't need that. There's no need for that. What's the purpose of having a greater anointing? We'll quit that one too. And people don't realize it. It's walking in what you have. Hallelujah. Most of you, and this is by the Spirit of God, I'm speaking as most of you have so much more power and hand to you than you ever use. And you're saying you want something more. You don't need something more. If you walk in faith in what you know, you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed at what God would do. We need to come just walk in faith in what we know. We need to get out of the sight realm. This is what the devil does. The devil rises up. Whenever judgments or things start happening, all the physical starts rising up, and we see all the problems and all the things start rising up, and the church becomes all eyes and no hearing. The devil set this age up and made it an age where everybody's looking at their phone. Everybody's tied to sight and the sounds of the world. Everybody's tied to them. The Christians are tied to them. They're in these things. Ministries are tied to them. We need to become tied to the unseen. Daniel's prophecy, he said, he talked about knowledge, you know, and that stuff, you know, increase. People are going to be running to and fro. We shouldn't be running to and fro, but it told us this is what's going to happen. We're running to and fro people. That's what we become, the running to and fro. We're not supposed to be the running to and fro. Knowledge has increased, and we've increased in the knowledge of the world. And we've lost the knowledge of God. See, that's what happens when seeing and physical hearing become the thing. Your physically hearing me talk today may not do a thing for you. Your heart must hear. Your heart has to hear it. Faith of the heart. Faith has enough physical hearing. Your heart has to hear. And you control the doorway to your heart. But most people are too noisy. They're too noisy for their heart to hear. Wisdom's of the heart. It's not of the head. The wisdom of God comes from the heart. The Holy Ghost lives inside of you. He don't live in your head. He don't even talk to your head. But somehow we've gotten tied to these things. And we need to move away from them. We need to come over to where the unseen realm becomes the place that is the most important. If there's a warfare going on in the unseen realm, if there's demons and things and the devil's doing things, most people only know the symptoms of what the devil does. And they're trying to cast out devils by symptoms. Do you really see in the spirit what the demons are doing? Do you really know? See, seeing a symptom of a disease don't tell you. A doctor can see 27 different symptoms, but that doesn't mean he knows what the problem is. See, this is why the seeing. People aren't in the spirit realm and don't know what's really happening. This is why people will end up fighting people trying to end this thing. Fighting people all the time. Because we're going to go with the same. We see the devil's symptoms in people. And it aggravates us. Because we don't like those symptoms. But we try to deal with it with the people. That's not where it's dealt with. Why don't they quit? Why don't they act right? See, we get into the things and we're start. It's like the doctor. Well, maybe if we just do this. Let's start churches where we'll say we love them and they can come in and do whatever they want. Let's do that. Then they'll like us. Well, that didn't work. Then why don't we just make them the preachers? Then why don't we do that? See, we keep doing these things and it's because we're dealing with natural things instead of spiritual things. Like when the Lord said to me about, he said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. You don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. We want to know what's going on, and that requires being spiritual, and there is an unseen realm. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to take an offering this morning. Remember, you're in an unseen realm. Unseen. Not seen by the eye. God is here. Say, do you feel God? I don't, like per se, if somebody tells me, I don't feel God. I don't feel this, or I don't. It isn't about feeling, but it's true. There's angels here. There's angels here in this place. They're here. Notify your face that they're here. Smile a little bit. Now, if I said the devil was here, people, the devil is here. Yeah, we know the devil is here. God's here. See, we're, as Christians, there's an unseen realm. And these things are true. It's true. The power of God is present right here today. The power of God. Whatever. Now think about this. The power of God. When you think about the power of God, what can it do? We have a Bible full of things that the power of God did. And the power of God is present here this morning. Just think about that. It's present here right now this morning. The power of God present right now. But that doesn't mean it's going to do a thing for you. You might sit there and say, well, I believe God can do this. Or you might say to yourself what you believe. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe. If what you believe is not said and acted upon, see, it doesn't matter. See, if believing something was so powerful in itself, also it would require, if we just believed something, it would happen. Boy, does that work? How'd that go? How many of us here believe 1 Peter 2:24? How many of you are perfectly healed? No, it's just ask a question. See, what? Well, see, believing didn't produce a thing, did it? Does it produce something in itself, just believing? Does it produce something? No, it doesn't. Now, belief that is acted upon, why? According to the Word of God. Something said, faith is released with your mouth. You see, all of us have been in services, and that's it, where people come along and say, well, did you come today to receive? And everybody goes, yeah. And I always think this when they say it. Well, receive what? What did you come to receive for? What did you? If you haven't said anything and you didn't have a plan to receive anything, you may not come. You may leave and not have nothing. I found this out listening to people who got healed and stuff in meetings. Well, it's just like I found this was really interesting. And I was at Kenneth Hagin camp meeting in 1987. I was taking care of what they call the handicapped section. These were people, we had people bought in sometimes, like in hospital beds and things like that. And I oversaw that section and dealing with people. But we had the one night we had an older gentleman. He was, well, in fact, he was probably, he hit about 80 years old. But he came in and he was on a cane. And he's walking on a cane and he came in and he came up the handicapped section and I just greeted him. And he said, he was from down below Houston, Texas somewhere. And he said, down there, he said, I drove up here tonight. He said, I come up here and he said, to have hands laid on me to get healed. Now I want you to think about this. Here's this guy. He drove from way down there, drove up to Tulsa to get there. He's on a cane. He's in his 80s. Now, most people 27 years old would never try to drive that far to get healed. They would just, you know, they wouldn't have enough faith to go anywhere and try and, you know, and lay hands on their empty head 47 times and nothing would ever happen. This guy said, here he is. He's going to go get, he said, I said to him coming in, and so I made a statement to him concerning faith, and he said, yeah. He said, when he lays hands on me, he said, I'm going to get healed. And then he said, I'm going to go and drive home. And he's 87 years old, he's going to drive all that way to that night. Now, see, most people are 87 years old. If you told them to drive 5 miles, they'd be griping, complaining, moaning, groaning, and everything else. So they turn around, and you know what happened to him? He got hands laid on him, got instantly healed. Turned around, left his cane, dropped his cane, walked off and left. And I said, do you want your cane? He said, what do I want that for? He said, I don't need it. He walked out, left, went out and got his car, drove home. But you know what? That don't surprise me at all, because that's what he came to receive. He said it and he was acting on it. So I like Benny Hinn, I was up at Benny Hinn's meeting years ago, up Benny Hinn, and just sort of listening to people talk. You know, most people that came there had no plans on getting healed, and especially the Christians. They were coming to see if they were going to get something. Nobody had said, you know, if I go and I get hands laid on me, I'm going to be well and be whole. Nobody's saying that. All these so-called faith people, and ain't one of them saying none of that. They ain't saying none of that. They're afraid to say it. Well, what if I say it? It don't work. I'll look like a fool. Sorry, you are a fool. You ain't look like one. Now you act like one. That's a fool. A fool don't use wisdom. That's who a fool is. A fool is a person that don't use wisdom. We won't teach on that. See, we're given wisdom. Now, wisdom is, you know what? I'm going that service. You know, some people, they're too sick to go to the church. They'll make 47 trips to the doctor, but they can't go to the church and get prayed for. No, I can't. I'm too sick. I just feel bad. I can't come to church. But I can run to the doctor whenever he wants me. I'll jump through any hoop he'll give me. I wonder why I don't get healed. I don't understand why it don't work for me. It don't take no rocket scientist to feel, because there's wisdom that needs to be used. If you believe somebody really had the healing power, you haven't got the place of faith you ever believe that a person really, that it's going to work. You can become a faithless person and never ever able to be healed, because you will build faithlessness in yourself by continually going to get prayed for in unbelief. Till after a while you couldn't believe to get healed for nothing, because you have mastered unbelief in your life. Just like you can master belief. You can master belief where it'll work for you like that every time. You can master unbelief in the same way. Just keep acting wrong and talking wrong, and you will master unbelief. Till I tell you what, it'd take an atomic bomb to blow it out of you. This is good preaching, folks. This is the Holy Ghost talking. Why? Because we need to move. We need to leave. We're in a place of unbelief about things, and we need to break out of it. We need to break out of this thing. There's a spirit of unbelief. There's this spirit of Antichrist. Too many people have yielded to it. They have yielded to this thing. Too many Christians are in there a little hopeless, you know, trying to get by in this thing. Leave that place. Jesus is Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's our King. You know, I'm a president. I thank God for my president. I appreciate him, but I'm going to tell you what, he ain't nothing compared to my King. He ain't nothing compared to my King. He can't even do 0.1% of what my King can do. And I don't need a constitutional right to have none of it. Hallelujah. I have the Word of God. His Word on it as the King is good enough. Let's get back to taking the Word of the King. See, God said He'll heal me, then that's exactly what's going to happen. If anybody's going to get healed, it's going to be me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to get it. Say, yeah, but your foot still bothered you. I don't care. I'm not interested. These Christians are always looking and seeing and trying to, and judging by the eye. And always, well, what about that person? Why didn't they get healed? What do you care? You can't get healed either. It's like, what on earth? You worry about what's wrong with them. It don't matter. Well, I wonder why so-and-so died. Because he's trying to get away from you. I wonder why. You know, what can you say? We can live in Wonderland. And the church has been there. We're the church of Alice. No, we're the church of Jesus Christ. And it's a place that's full of faith. Hallelujah. We just got to take the flesh off. Just get the flesh out of the way. Move the flesh out of the way. Get into a spiritual way of thinking. Hallelujah. That the spiritual realm is more real than what I see with my eyes and what I hear with my natural ear. The spirit realm is more real. The Word of God is the biggest voice that we need to hear. The Word of God is speaking to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Is that true or not? You never whine about nothing if we think it's true. Say, glory to God. I'm already blessed. I'm not trying to get God to bless me. Oh, people say, pray for me, God, to bless me. I'm sorry. What am I going to bless you with? You already got it all. What am I going to do? What do you want me to pray? What did God miss? Now, I know I'm brighter than he is, but my God. You know, just think about it. We read the scriptures and then go around and join the religious club and start talking our religious talk and talk ourselves right out of the blessing of God and pray a good prayer of unbelief and go, yeah, they prayed for me. No, they didn't pray for you. They said dumb stuff over you. They were praying stupid over you. So they were telling you something you already have, like you're trying to get it. See, I'm not trying to get healing. I have healing. You're not trying to get healing. You haven't. Think about that. You have it. You have healing. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You healed me 2,000 years ago. You healed me before this day ever came. And anything that's happening, going, you have already done it. You've already carried it out. Hallelujah. And I just thank you, Lord. I don't have to put up with it anymore. I'm so glad you healed me. Oh, Lord God, I'm so glad you took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I am so thankful that by your stripes I was healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You've already done it. Hallelujah. And I just receive it. It's mine today in the name of Jesus. I have it. I have my healing now. I'm never going to look for it again. I'm not going to look for my healing because I already have it now. Hallelujah. I got it. Oh, Lord Jesus. No, Jesus, I ain't going to pay attention to my body. It's stupid. My body will obey me and do exactly what I said. It will get better whether it wants to or not. Hallelujah. My body doesn't have a choice. I'm speaking to my body in the name of Jesus. Body, you aren't going to get away with what you've been getting away with. Body, you're coming in line with the Word of God and you will obey the Word of God and do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, I'm glad because the Scripture says that the good work you started in me, you're going to bring it to completion. So see, Lord Jesus, I got to count on you because I can't trust me to carry it out. Hallelujah. But I can surely trust you to carry it out. I can sure trust you to fulfill your word in me. Hallelujah. And I'm glad. Glory to God. Jesus, I can smile today. And it isn't because I've done something wonderful. I'm smiling because you did gloriously. You did marvelously. You did wonderful. Hallelujah. That's you, my Jesus. And I just thank you. Lord Jesus, I'm glad I'm not poor. I'm rich. Hallelujah. I'm so glad, Lord Jesus. I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, that you said if we give, it be given unto us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men would give into our bosom. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. There's people just looking to come and give us things. Holy Ghost, you're out there right now. Well, let me, angels, you get out there right now. Go to work in the name of Jesus and influence people to bring finances in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. They're givers, and so the word will be fulfilled in them. It will be given to them, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that men will give into their bosoms, and people are coming to give them things. Hallelujah. Why? Because they're givers, and the word must be fulfilled. Jesus, you couldn't lie. No, and we thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that we're not poor, but we're rich in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this today that we're wise.